Thank you, Janelle. Let us now take a moment to pray. God, thank you for calling us your beloved. Thank you for inviting us to be part of your family. As we read your word today, give us understanding of how your patience is a gift and help us to come running to you. We give you this time in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading comes from the letter 2 Peter, the third chapter, verses 8 through 15. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. May God bless the reading of this word. Have you ever woken from sleep and not known what day it is, what time it was? Is it morning? Is it evening? Did you just have a nap or did you sleep through the night? Anyone have that experience? Okay, that happened to me this week. My alarms didn't go off. No clue why they were set. They just didn't go off, and I have two. And when I woke up, I looked at the time, and I didn't know, did I just nap, or did I oversleep? It was very disorienting. There are a lot of ways that we tell time, right? In the United States, we use calendars, and we use clocks. We look at years and months and day of the week and dates and hours and minutes and seconds. And then in the Midwest, we definitely know time by seasons, right? We get all the seasons here. So we tell time that way. But not everybody tells time the same. So in parts of Africa, time is told with the sun. So 4 o'clock is 4 hours since sunrise. 6 o'clock is 6 hours since sunrise. Some places it's told by description of how well I can see you. I'll meet you when I can just barely see your eyes still. Or I'll meet you when the sun is shining brightly on your face. Some places, in agricultural communities, you might say, when the cows come in, I'll come over to your house. In Japan, time is often told by energy levels. Do you still have enough energy to do the task? In Mexico, it's told by relationships. You allow time to carry itself in that relationship, and when that relationship time is done, then you move to the next thing. For God, time is elastic. God created the sun and moon, and so God comes before time exists. So God is separate from time. Time doesn't control God. God controls it. So for God, 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. And I don't know if you knew this, but we begin to teach our children theological concepts of time when we address questions they have about Christmas. So we have to be very careful how we answer these questions. For example, have you been asked the question, how does Santa get to all the homes in one night? How we answer that reveals a little bit about our understanding of belief and mystery. Generally, as U.S. Americans, though, we are pretty impatient with our time. I don't like waiting in line. Do you guys like waiting in line? I went to Best Buy this week because my computer is broken and still there. And I said to the guy, well, when do you think I'll be able to come back? And he's like, well, we'll let you know. Like, he wouldn't give me any answer. I'm like, well, you know, it's a 20-minute drive for me to come here. And he's like, well, I drive 20 minutes to work every day. And I'm like, yeah, but you drive 20 minutes and you're here 8 hours. I drive 20 minutes to pick up the computer and drive back 20 minutes. But we're very impatient with time. We're very possessive of it. But church tells time differently. Church is supposed to teach us time differently. See, we don't celebrate Christmas Day alone. We celebrate the season of Advent and the 12 days of Christmas that follow leading to Epiphany. And today we're in the season of Advent. This season is a time of coming. We reflect back on Christ's first coming. We look forward to Christ's future coming. As you saw in the children's sermon, we talk about Christ coming into us, into the life of the individual and the community. And so Advent is this time where we connect the past and the present and the future. And what ties it all together is Christ's presence. So in today's passage, we learn that God's not controlled by time, but God is patient through it. Okay, let's look at today's passage more closely. So 2 Peter. So let's talk about the author first. So the author is Peter. He's one of the 12 apostles. This is actually one of the more debated books on authorship because there's two letters written by Peter, and they're very different stylistically in writing. So theologians get into big debates. Did Peter actually write both letters? Did he use a scribe and he fired the first scribe and hired a new scribe the second? Or was there somebody else writing and they acted like they were Peter? But what's interesting in 2 Peter is there's a lot of self-revelation that Peter does. He shares a lot about himself in little subtle ways. So one way is he talks about being a witness to the transfiguration. I'm sure you remember this. This is that moment when Peter and then the two brothers, James and John, they went with Jesus up a high mountain, and Jesus became light before them. And then Elijah and the Moses appeared, and then they heard the voice of God say, "This is my son whom I loved. Listen to him." Peter was there. He had that incredible encounter where time just disappeared and the mystery of heaven and earth connected. He also, in this book, mentions his quickly approaching death. Now, we don't know if this means that he knows, like, he's actively dying, or somehow God has given him awareness that he will be dying soon. But he's writing from that perspective of, I'm about to go home. What I've found interesting as a pastor is I find that as people get closer and closer to death, they seem more interested in the question of end times. It seems like even people who had no curiosity about Christ's second coming or end times, when they get close to death, they start asking more questions about that. That's where Peter is right now. And so he writes this letter, and he says in the third chapter, first verse, that the purpose of it is he wants to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. That's his goal. But we also know in this letter that Peter is combating Gnosticism, specifically these two beliefs that are out there that he's trying to speak against. So one is a belief that our bodily sins do not matter. And the second is a teaching not to expect a future return of Christ. And so Peter is trying to address both of those while stimulating us to wholesome thinking. The second chapter is a pretty heavy chapter to read. In this chapter, he's pretty condemning. He condemns this selfish, greed-filled, adulterous, lawless world. But then he goes on to address this question that he suspects people in the future will ask, which is, where is his coming he promised? You know, they talk about Christ coming again, and he suspects that they're going to be talking about it for a long time, and, you know, we're in 2017. We're still talking about it, right? So he asks the question for us. Where is this coming he promised? Why is it taking so long to fulfill this hope? Why is this hope deferred? Why is it taking so long? Kind of like the kids in the car. Are we going to get there yet? But the author answers this question by saying God isn't slow. Instead, God is being patient. Isn't that a different way of thinking about it? God's not being slow. He's being patient. Because that day is going to come unexpectedly and suddenly like a thief. And God doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to repent and find a new life offered in Christ. 1 Timothy 2:4 is a verse worth remembering. So write this down. These are two verses that are really good. So 1 Timothy 2:4, God wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's God's desire for everyone. And 2 Peter 3:15, the Lord's patience means salvation. God is patient with each of us because he wants what's best for us. Okay, there's a story, and I may have used it before. I try to write down when I've used an illustration before and when I haven't, and I read it, and it sounded familiar. So if I'm retelling you, I apologize. It's from this book. I haven't read the book, but it's The 50 Most Romantic Things Ever Done. Anyways, there's this man and this woman, and they commute for work. And so the two of them arrive on their shuttle at the airport, and they get in the taxi line, and there's just this chemistry between them while they're waiting in line. Just something special there. One of those, you don't experience this that often. But the cab comes, and the lady gets into the cab, and the cab driver starts driving off, and she's like, I should have given him my phone number. And she sees him running after the cab. So she tells the cab driver, stop, stop, stop. The cab driver doesn't stop. So she quickly scribbles her phone number down, and she holds it up in that back window. But she's like, there's no way he's going to get it. You know, like they're too far off. She scribbled it too quickly. So she goes to work, and she's sitting in these meetings, and she's like, there was something special there. And she finally she dismisses herself from work and says she's sick to her stomach, which is somewhat true. And she returns back to the airport. When she arrives, that guy is standing there. And he says, what took you so long? I've been waiting all day. See, God's love is like that. He waits for us as long as it takes. He waits for us with patience. See, God is patient. The Greek word used in today's passage is in the present active indicative verb tense. So what this means is that my husband's laughing because he knows I don't like parsing Greek words. So what this means is God is present in this present moment. It is a fact that God is not losing heart. God, in this present moment, God is not losing heart. That God bears our offenses and our injuries that we cause others because God is of long spirit. God will persevere on our behalf. This isn't a new quality of God. We got the story of Jonah and the great fish and how God sends Jonah to the people of Nineveh to call on them to repent. That invitation to the Ninevites to repent and allowing them to do so is God's patience with them. He's patient with them over and over and over again. The story of Israel is a great story of God's patience. I mean, from Genesis on, we see this interaction, this relationship between the Hebrew people and God. And God is consistently patient, consistently preserving them. He's making sure there's always a remnant of the people. And the people of Israel are still alive today. In Ezekiel 18, we read, God asks this question. Do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked? Rather, am I not pleased when they turn from their ways and live? Rid yourselves of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, people of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live. And then we move to the New Testament, and we have the story of Easter. When we're in the middle of Advent, we also are in the middle of Lent. The two seasons tie together. There's connections between the stories. So this is the third verse to memorize. 1 Timothy 2:6. Again, that's 1 Timothy 2:6. And it says, Jesus Christ gave himself as a ransom for all people. Kevin Harney, in this book, Seismic Shifts, tells the story of this castor oil love, and I want to read this story to you. Every day, at exactly the same time, Margaret would go to the bathroom cabinet, open it, and take out a huge bottle of castor oil. Then she would head to the kitchen to get a tablespoon. At the sound of the drawer opening and the silverware rattling, Patches, her Yorkshire Terrier, would run and hide. Sometimes under the bed, at other times in the bath time, or behind Margaret's recliner. Patches was in terror. Someone had convinced Margaret that Patches would have strong teeth, a beautiful coat, and a long life if she gave him a spoonful of castor oil every day. So as an act of love, every 24 hours, she cornered Patches, pinned him down, pried open his mouth, and poured a tablespoon of castor oil down his little doggy throat. Neither Patches nor Margaret enjoyed their daily wrestling match. Then one day, in the middle of their battle royal, with one sideways kick, Patches sent the dreaded bottle of castor oil flying across the kitchen floor. It was a momentary victory for the canine, as Margaret let him go so she could run to the pantry and grab a towel to clean up the mess. When Margaret got back, she was shocked. There was Patches licking up the spilled castor oil. With a look of satisfaction only a dog can make, Margaret began to laugh uncontrollably. In one moment, it all made sense. Patches liked castor oil. He just hated being pinned down and having it pour down his throat. God knows our relationship with him is like castor oil. It's good for us. We will like it. So God is patient with us. He pours out the wild oil before us, and he waits for us to come to it. This Advent, as we look at the gifts that God has given us, let us not forget the gift from God of God's patience. Amen. As we stand to sing through it all, I want to invite you to recognize God's patience in your life. How God has poured out the castor oil waiting for you to come and drink of it. To remember the different ways he's kind of guided your path so you can see that he's got something good for you. I want you to take a moment and think, where is God being patient with you now? Where do you need to repent? Where do you need to turn and change directions because you're not on God's path, and God's path is a pretty good place to be. And if you haven't yet wrapped yourself up as a present and said, here, God, I'm your gift this year, I invite you to come forward and commit your life to Christ as we sing through it all. Please stand and sing.